As indicated by the title, I wanted to spend these next few Wednesdays discussing issues related to Achris Hayomim, the end of the days, Mashiach, etc. I became interested in this topic because I've noticed it became a topic that was hijacked to a certain extent. Nowadays, if you ask them about Mashiach, they'll tell you that, no, I'm not Lubavitch. Now, you know, it's not for me. It's fine, they can have their Mashiach. But, you know, it's not for me. Somehow people have forgotten that Mashiach is one of the Yud Gimli Kare Emunah. It's one of the 13 basic principles of faith that we all believe in. And not only do we believe in it, but we say, Im kozeh achakalo b'chol yom sheyobo. Every single day, we are sitting expecting that the Mashiach will come today. And it seems to have gotten, you know, swept away. It's become a political topic. Mashiach, no, that's not for me. So I wanted to spend a few evenings discussing what it is that we expect to happen soon, the different opinions on the matters, etc. In order to begin the discussion, I wanted to begin the discussion with the Yud Gimli Kare Emunah. People are somewhat familiar with the fact that the Rambam, in the beginning of his Pirush HaMishnayos, the 10th parak of Sanhedrin, lists out that there are 13 basic principles of faith. There are 13 things that you have to believe in it, and if you don't believe in it, you're just not part of the Jewish faith. It's a very strong formulation on his point, on his part. The Rambam goes on to say that in the event that somebody denies even one of these Yud Gimli Kare Emunah, even Bishogeg, even if the person doesn't realize you're supposed to believe this, even if it's not that he's heard about it and he denies it, no, he just is unaware of it, that person not only is he over in Aveira, but he loses his Chayot to Olam Haba. He does not have a Chayot to Olam Haba, he does not get credit for any of the mitzvahs that he does. It's a very strong and somewhat strange concept. Why should it be? So, let's say somebody is Mechalel Shabbos. Right? But the person gives a tzedakah and the person eats kosher. So we assume that the person gets schar, he gets rewarded for keeping kosher, he gets rewarded for being a good person, for whatever tzedakah he does, and he gets punished because Nebuch, he's a Mechalel Shabbos. So too, if a person, you know, everybody has character flaws. You know, the guy's an axe murderer, but he's good to his mother. And the old saying is, oh, so okay. So for being an axe murderer, you get punished, and for being good for your mother, you know, you get rewarded for that. That's the way it generates. However, the Yud Gimli Kare Emunah, the Rambam states, and it's not 100% agreed by everybody, that even if accidentally you don't believe in one of these basic principles of faith, it's all over. All the tzedakah you gave, all the Shabbos that you kept, all the learning that you did, you know, everything is out the door, it's all worthless. Why should this be? So there are different opinions given. Probably the most standard opinion is because ultimately what matters for a Jew is to be doing the mitzvahs of Hashem. So let's say a person got up and decided the reason that I'm not going to eat milk and meat together. You know why? Because it's bad for you. Because Ralph the Lettuce Head, Maya Vodazara, has announced that in fact that you shouldn't do it. I'm doing these mitzvahs because Ralph the Lettuce Head said so. So, does a person get schar for that? Obviously not. You get schar to do mitzvahs because Hashem tells you to do mitzvahs. If you're doing it because, you know, this is one of the principles of my religion, but it's not the Jewish religion, you don't get schar for it. That's the beginning and the end of it. So what the Rambam is saying is there are 13 basic principles of faith. And if you don't believe one of these principles, the religion that you are worshipping is not the Jewish religion. So for example, let's say that you believe in God, that you believe God created the world, but you don't believe that God continues to run the world. Right? You believe that the God was involved, that there was some divine power that set off the Big Bang, but ever since then it's all been kind of random. So that God that you're believing in, the Rambam says, is not our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, you're worshipping some other God, but that is not considered Judaism. Similarly, let's say you believe in God, but you don't think God really cares what happens. You don't believe in Schar V'Onesh. You believe that there's a Torah, but you don't really believe that if you do the mitzvahs, you'll get rewarded, and if you don't do them, you'll get punished. So again, the Rambam is saying that that's fine, that's dandy, but that's not our religion. That there are certain things that are our religion. You've got to believe in these basic 13 principles of faith. Beyond this, there's a lot of room. We've discussed on Shabbos already certain topics that there isn't agreement on. Gilgulim, reincarnation. Whether you believe in reincarnation, you don't believe in reincarnation, you're Jewish. Right? That could go either way, one way or the other. It doesn't really make a difference. Right? Whether you believe in Shadim or not, demons. Other Ya, other Nish. Either way, it's all good. Right? And one might be right, one might be wrong, but it doesn't make a difference. If you make a mistake, that's okay. But these 13 basic principles of faith, these are so basic that if you don't believe in one of them, it's out. Now, I'll point out that not everybody agrees with all of them. A lot of people disagree with the Rambam. On different levels, for example, the Rambam lists as one of the Yud Gimli Kari Emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have a body. So the Ravid in the Mishnah Torah says, he's right, God does not have a body. But if you believe God has a body, you're not that far off. No, you're still part of it. You're wrong. But it's not enough to say, Ein lo chelek lo olam. So there are people who disagree on those levels, and there are some places where people actually disagree even more. A very notable case is one of the Yud Gimli Kari Emunah is that you're not allowed to pray to an intermediary. You have to pray to Hashem directly. You can't pray to an intermediary. So, if you believe that he has a son, and you're davening to the son, that would be a problem. What about davening to angels, malachim? What? Right. What about, what if you dive into the angels? So some people think not only do they think that if you do it, not only do you not lose your love, but some people think it's right. There's certain parts of davening where we seem to be doing it, right? Most notably would be Friday night. Shalom Aleichem. Baruchuni l'shalom malachei hashalom malachei elyon. We're davening to the angels that they should bless us. It's interesting to know, Rav Chaim Volozhin didn't say it. The Briskers, they don't say that. They don't say the last one either. They don't say Tzeslom L'Shalom either because they just came here. You tell them to leave? That's not nice. Thank you for coming, and that's the door, and don't let it hit you on the way out. Right? So, what? This is an issue? He does it or he skips it? So you should know that I think there are people who say Tzeslom L'Shalom. They had a base. When you leave? Well, I'm not saying you should leave now. Tzeslom L'Shalom. It should be L'Shalom. It should go okay. Right? Probably more notable and more controversial is in Slichus. Machnise rachamim hachnise rachamecha v'snechisei v'decha. We're davening that the angels that take our tefillahs up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they should please do it this way. So a lot of people skip that because they think that's a violation. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva on it where he kind of says that, you know, a lot of people disagree with the Rambam. He himself probably would try to keep it. But it's hard to say that somebody who says Machlisei Rachamim loses his entire Chechom Haba, that would be a little bit strong. One area that people don't disagree on is Mashiach. The 12th of the 13 Ikarim are the fact that we believe that the Mashiach is coming, and the Afal Pisha Yismameah. Even though it's been a while already. Now, we've a lot of mornings we've gotten up expecting him to come, and he hasn't come on any of them yet. Imkol Zachakala, right? And in fact, when we say the Ani Mamins, right, the 13 Ani Mamins, which are patterned after the Rambam's Yud Gimli Kari Emunah, we say Ani Mamin Berushalayim via Samashiach, and we even put that part in, V'afal Pisha Yismameya, Imkol Zachakala. It's very interesting, right? You don't see in any other the Yud Gimli Kari Emunah that Ani Mamim B'Muna Shalema, what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards Tzadikim and he punishes Rishon. But AFLP, and even though I see that there are certain wicked people who have it good and there are certain good people that have it bad, still I believe this. Right? There's no disclaimer almost in any other one. So there seems to be a focus on not only is it key that a person has to believe in the coming of Mashiach, but a person has to actively wait for it. A person has to actively suspect it. It's interesting. So there is an isser, right? Not to be waiting for Mashiach. How can a person violate this? How can someone, I say passively, how can someone actively do this? So I always like to give this example, even when I'm not in Chicago, but it's particularly well placed here, that you sometimes you ask somebody a question. Marshall, when are the Cubs going to win the World Series? So what will they tell you? When Mashiach comes, that's when the Cubs are going to win the World Series. Right? That's what the answer will be. What's the implication of the answer? People don't think about this. They don't think the Cubs are winning this year, and that's when everything's going to come. That's not the implication. It's not today, right? They're going to win the World Series. It's like, just like Mashiach's never coming, the Cubs are never winning. That's the implication that people are saying. So a person is actively saying, based on that, I don't believe Mashiach's coming anytime soon. That's a very grave answer. It's a flippant remark that people make, but it's a very serious statement. You shouldn't be saying that. No, the Cubs might never win. That could be true. But Mashiach's not coming, that can't be. And you know, we say it all, and we say it in Yigdal, right? The Yigdal is also patterned after the Yud Gimel Yikam Yishchach Lechake Keis Mashiachenu. That word that the people who are mechake case, the people that are waiting for the answer to come, they're going to get the Mashiach. So, the question is asked, okay, it's very important. We should be hoping for Mashiach, we do believe in it. Why is it such an intrinsic part of Yiddishkeit? Why, if I don't believe it, I might be wrong, right? But still, why should that undo everything? So it gives. So the standard answer is that it gives historic import to the world. It's interesting. People can make a mistake like this, right? We understand that this world is not as important as the world to come, right? That ultimately, whatever we do here, what the real goal is lachem me'avasher. After we pass on, then we'll get punished for what we did wrong, and we'll get star for what we did right. And then we'll go to the old ha'emes, and the truth will come out. And therefore, this world seems somewhat as secondary, not as important. But this is a statement that's not true. In Judaism, what's going on in this world has also a tremendous amount of importance. There is history that is playing out towards an end. Right? We believe that this isn't just, you know, people have to put in their timers, like prison. You go, where did you get it? I got 80 to 90. You know, so you go in there for your 80 to 90 years, and then afterwards you get shipped off, and you go back to it. No, there is purpose in this world. And we're aiming towards that historic purpose, which is Yemos HaMashiach, the 12th Iker, and what we'll discuss at a later date, Tchias HaMesim, which is the 13th Iker, that the resurrection of the dead. It's very interesting. Because, in fact, the 13th Iker of Poit talks even stronger about this. Right? We understand that every person has two aspects. There's the guf, the physical body, and the neshama, the spiritual soul. And as long as a person's alive, there is the two are together. When a person dies, there's a separation. Where the soul sheds the body, as we say, and at that point it goes on to its ultimate reward. The assumption that we have by saying that is that the body is not particularly important. The body is just something that's kind of dragging down the soul. And when time is up, it can shed it. No, you see, not that way. The fact that the ultimate, what we're aiming for is to get back into the body, the Tchias HaMesim, again points out that this is not a minor part. Right? Judaism is not, we don't believe in a hair shirt, we don't believe in life of suffering because we just want to get out of this world. No, we believe in the importance of this world as much as the next world, and we believe that this is all building up towards the ultimate end, which is the Mashiach. We say it in davening all the time. Es tzamach David avdachem meheret tzatzmiach. We daven for the Mashiach. That's that the tzamach David, the offspring of David, should come soon, and we're very much hoping for it to come. In fact, the Gemara tells us when a person dies, they go up to heaven. There are just a handful of questions that St. Peter asks you. Right? One of them is Nasato v'Emuna. Were you honest in your business? Kavate itim with Torah. Did you learn Torah? Did you set time aside? And also, see peacefully Yeshua. Did you wait for the Mashiach to come? Right? That's one of the basic questions that you need to get in. So just the fact, just being mitzvah, just waiting for the Mashiach, is something that's very important, and it's something that's unfortunately not in the front of our minds. You know, we should at least have it in the back of our minds. It should be something that we are encouraged. Coming around Tisha B'Av, this is the time of year that we're hoping. Mashiach was born on Tisha B'Av, etc. These are all things that we're hoping for. Practically, what does this mean, to be rooting for the Mashiach? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which has a lot of the discussions regarding this, talks about things that you're not allowed to do. So one thing you're not allowed to do is you can't be one of the Choshvei HaKeitz. You can't be one of the people who tries to figure out when the Mashiach is going to come. We know that there are, the Gemara actually tells us, it's a pasuk at the end of a Haftorah in Yeshaya, Be'ita Achishena, that Akash Baruch Hu says, I will send the Mashiach Be'ita, in its time, Achishena, I will send it quickly. So the Gemara has to face the question. If it's going to come in its time, that's not quick. If it's going to come quicker than expected, that's not in its time. So how can the pasuk say it's both? Either it's going to be in its time, either it's going to be Be'ita, or it's going to be Achishena. So the Gemara tells us, most people are familiar with this, that there are two different possibilities. One is Be'ita. There's a certain deadline that whether we deserve it or not, on that deadline, Mashiach will come. And whatever the day is, July 12, 2007, that is the ultimate day that it can't come later than that. Whether we deserve it, whether we don't deserve it, Mashiach is coming. However, if we deserve it, Achishana could still come earlier than that. So there are two possible end games out there. There is the potential end game of we finally earn it. And there's the second potential end game of Deita, that we didn't earn it, but still this has to happen. So we talk about figuring out, we can't figure out what the Achishana date is. We can't figure out what the early date is. Nobody knows that. But trying to figure out what that ultimate date is, that is not allowed. What's the reason for it? So there are three answers that are given. The Rambam gives two, the Maharal gives the third. The Rambam, and basically this is the Gemara, offers up the first two. The first one is, so let's say I say the Mashiach is coming September 15th. September 15th is the day the Mashiach is coming, start packing your bags. There are two things that are wrong with that. One is, between now and September 15th, I know the Mashiach is not coming. In Kol Zeh Achakra B'chol Yom Shiyavah, I'm supposed to expect it's going to come today. If I know it's September 15th, I'm not doing that. That's A. B, the potentially worst problem, is if I'm wrong. September 15th comes and September 15th goes and the Mashiach's not here yet. I throw my head and say, listen, it's not going to happen. Those are the two possibilities offered by the Gemara, basically. The Maharal offers the third one. He says that part of the idea of waiting for Mashiach is not knowing when it's going to be, being very anxious about it. He gives the mashal that someone's in jail. Now, you know, you never know. He doesn't know when he's going to get out. However, someone has a date, so he's up for parole 2 years from now, 5 years from now, it's easier. It's not the same. So that's the other reason that's given. So therefore, the Gemara says quite clearly, there's an issue to try to figure it out. Yes? So the right. So the question is, but there are people who buy. Most nobody was very Sajagun. But Sajagun, in his epic work, Emunos Videos, offers up a date. There's a famous piece of Daniel, where Daniel has a vision. There's angels on two sides, people on two sides of the river, and there's an angel in between. And he asks, when's the Mashiach going to come? And they give him an answer. And he turns to the angel and says, I didn't understand what they said. To which he says, don't worry about it. When the time comes, you'll know it. So Rav Sadia, based on those psukim, tries to figure out when it is, and he believes that the Mashiach was supposed to come 1,335 years, that's the number he comes up, after the time of Daniel. And when was Daniel? So Daniel was during the time of Golas Bavel, which would put it between the year 70 and 140 of the Common Era. That was the, no, earlier, that's the Shani. Go back 400 years. Right, so it would, what? Right, so 500, 400 BC, in between there, you'd put it. So that would mean that it would be ending 1,000 years ago. Clearly he was wrong. Interesting, I read a piece recently, a very strange piece, what is Emunah? So the person wrote, Emunah is, that even though Rav Sadia Gaon said the Mashiach is coming then, and even though it's past, I still believe it's coming then. That's impressive.
I can't. He was here, we didn't see him.
What?
He was here, we didn't see him.
Playing possum. It's well, it's hard to imagine. You know, it's like the joke by the Breslover. Right? The Breslovers still have the same Rebbe who passed away. Nachum passed away a few 200 years ago, almost. So they still think that he's the Rebbe. They give him shlishi every Shabbos. The old line, literally, you walk in, they give shlishi. So one guy once said, when they give him Hagbah, then I'll be impressed. Shlishi, what's he do Hagbah at this point? So the question is still, as much as I try to ignore it, the question is still a good question. How could it be? How does Rav Sadia Gaon give a date? Besides the fact that it was wrong, right? That's a halvitzar. It's against the Gemara. Rav Sadia Gaon, we was an Orthodox Jew. As such, he shouldn't have done this. So the Rambam discusses it. The Rambam in his Igeret Teiman. It was in the Yemen. In the time of the Rambam, there was a false Messiah. And a lot of people in Yemen were following this. They sent me a question to the Rambam to have him determine whether this guy was for real or not. So in that, he gives most of his discussion about what about Yemos Mashiach, what to be looking for, etc., what to expect. So the Rambam writes there that what happened with Sajidah? So what happens? He said, I'll try to defend him. He said it could be in the time of Rav Sadia Gaon that there was a tremendous depression. And people thought that the Mashiach was never going to come. And he felt it necessary in order to strengthen the people to make a prediction. That was his idea. And since the whole Isser is because it will stop people from hoping, right, this in fact, in this situation was the exact opposite. But in general, it's very hard to accept. And Rav Sadia is not the only other person who did it. I think the Ramban has a suggestion. Bina Bakhtia had a suggestion as well. You also? Isaac Newton has the most fascinating writings. You know that Isaac Newton has wrote a kuntris, I don't know if you can call it that, on the Amma and how big he thought the Amma was. And one of the major issues that we have in Yiddishkeit is how big is an Amma? Right, you know, and the sukkah can't be more than 20 Ammas high. What's an Amma? That doesn't really help us at all. Right, so he was an interesting fellow. So the fact that Isaac Newton did something against the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that doesn't bother me so much. You know? Yitachin, I can understand it. But to turn around and say that the Rav Sadia Gaon did something against the Gemara, that's something that's significantly more difficult to live with. So that's an issue. It's very interesting that there is definitely a relationship between, throughout Jewish history, this is the case, between difficult times and a push towards Mashiach. Right? The most notable of cases would be Shabtai Tzvi. Shabtai Tzvi was able to get the following that he did because he came right after the Tat V'Tat, the Chmelnytsky massacres, that the people had really reached such a low point that they had no choice, you know, but to hold on any hope that they could get, they would reach out to. Similarly, it's very interesting, we'll discuss more at a later date, we believe that the day before the Mashiach comes, Elio is going to come, right? Right, as it says at the very end of Treyasa, Hinei Anochi Shaleach Lechem Es Elio Hanavi, Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol VaHanora. He's going to come the day before the Yom HaGadol HaNora. What's the day of Mashiach? The Gemara understands it to be. So, and the Gemara tells us he's going to come to the Sanhedrin and announce that this fellow over here, he is going to be the Mashiach. Now, we have a basic problem with that. And that problem is, no Sanhedrin, right? No Sanhedrin, no Eliyahu, no Eliyahu, no Mashiach. Right. So, that's true. So Steinzels and Yoel Schwartz. I got a call. I got an invitation. You should know. I'm not here to brag, but I'm not saying what number I would have been, but it would have been the top 70. I have connections. So, you should be more careful putting this on tape. So the Rambam in his Pirshei Mishnayos writes as follows. that even if the shalshalas, the chain of Mesorah is broken, and we lose smicha, you can bring back smicha if all the rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael agree that one person should get smicha. Everybody could agree on that, that person has smicha, and then he can start it again. That's the opinion of the Rambam. So that happened in the early 1500s, right after what? The Spanish Inquisition. Right after the Spanish Inquisition, they tried to start the smicha again, which again is the idea that the communal hope in Bnei Yisrael was on a particularly low level, and therefore there was this messianic approach, even in modern days. The Sanhedrin that Steinsaltz is a member of, one could see that as well, and even Eretz Yisrael. Said that Eretz Yisrael came after the Holocaust. Well, that which many of us think are the Reishis Smichas Geulaseinu, that seems to follow historically the pattern that we have here as well. So we have this idea that there are times when things are particularly tough, and we have to be mechazik. We have to try to remind people that the Mashiach is coming. We not remind them in such a way that would lead them to believing false messiahs, but to maintain the hope nonetheless. So the first thing that we said, the Gemara tells us that we're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to figure out when it is. It can't be one from the Choshvei HaKeis. You can't figure out when it is. The second thing is you're not allowed to push up the Geula. You can't push the Geula. So what does that mean? So Rashi has a very interesting opinion. Rashi says you can't daven too hard for the Mashiach to come. So most of the Achronim and Rishon have a lot of difficulty understanding what that means, right? Im kolzeh achakav v'chol yom shiyavo, that sounds like we want Mashiach now, to borrow a phrase. So what do you mean you can't daven too much? So the Sefer Yikarim was written by Rav Yosef Alba. The main purpose of the Sefer Yikarim is it's a discussion of the Yud Gimel Yikarei Emunah. So basically what he does is he explains that the Yud Gimel Yikarei Emunah, the 13 principles of faith that the Rambam lays out, are really only three. Right? The fact that God is omnipotent, and God is beyond time, and the fact that God is not of a body, that all is one basic belief of God. And then there's another basic belief of that the Torah won't be changed, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest of the Nevi'im. That's a second category. And the fact that there's reward and punishment, and the Mashiach is coming, and there's going to be Kriyas HaMeisim, that's a third category. So largely what he explains is that what the Rambam lays out as 13 is actually 3, and he has different beliefs. A lot of people didn't understand this. A lot of people thought, well, if the Rambam has 13, and he only has 3, that means he's denying 10. That means he's not Bikaris. Right, that's a lot of people understood it, the book of seeing, and therefore it became known as the Sefer HaOkrit, he who uproots. But we assume that he was a good guy nonetheless, even though we have to agree with him in all his places, but generally considered an Orthodox Jew. Still considered part of the fold. We'd give him an aliyah if he showed up today, if he was alive. But he's not, so we don't. So that is the basic idea behind the Sefer Yikarim, and he goes on to explain that there's always, particularly as the Geula gets close, there's more and more of a drive to run to it, even if it means the wrong thing. The classical example is after the Chet HaMeraglim. After the Chet HaMeraglim, so people were told, listen, 40 years, you're not going to Eretz Yisrael. What did a group of people do, the Ma'apilim? Right, they said, no, we're going in right now. And that was a big mistake. That was not the will of God. They were all destroyed because they did it. Right, so too, as the time of the Mashiach comes closer, there will be more and more of an assumption that people will be running to call people Mashiach who aren't. Right, so that is what the Gemara is saying, that you have to be particularly careful about this. That as the time gets closer, there might be more of a desire to announce that people are the Mashiach prematurely. And the Gemara tells us that's something that we have to be particularly careful about. The Chasam Sofer, other people comment on the Rambam, on the Rashi, I mean, that when it says you shouldn't daven too much, that's too much. But don't worry, no one's close to too much. You guys can all daven for Mashiach all you want. This is the Chasam Sofer saying, you're not going to hit too much. This isn't the problem. The Gemara has a little bit of a story. It tells us that Eliyahu used to come to learn with one of the Tanoim. They had a Chavrusa. Every morning they'd get together after davening. They had some bagels. They got together. So one day it was Rosh Chodesh, and Eliyahu came late. So he says, no, Eliyahu, what you so busy with? So he says that Rosh Chodesh, he wakes up all the avos one at a time. He washes their hands, they daven, and he puts them back to sleep at the Maros Machpelah. So the guy said, well, we have a chavrusa. Couldn't you do all three at once? No, save us some time here. So he said, no, if they all three got up at once and they all daven together, then they daven Mashiach to come, and that Kosh Baruch Hu would have to listen. They would all daven together. Therefore, I necessarily have to do one at a time. So the idea being is that when the time is right, the time will be right. We can't push the time more than it is. Obviously, this is part of a much larger discussion, right? This, a separate, similar Gemara appears in Ksuvos, which talks about the Shalosh Shavuos, that there are three oaths that the Goyim made to Hashem, and there's three oaths that we make. One of the three oaths that we made is Shavu Yahu Kachoma. We will never go back militarily and take back Eretz Israel. So there are a minority of Jews who believe that, therefore, going back to Israel is a big mistake. Shmuel Yahu Kachoma, that by the fact that the Jews have a military that are running it, that's a big problem that's holding back the Mashiach. Right? It's Maisa Sotan, etc. We don't believe that. I can speak for myself. I imagine I can speak for everybody here. We believe that Eretz Israel is a good thing. And that Gemara is not applying here for one of many reasons, that there are a lot of answers given why that doesn't apply. But the bottom line is, it's a very similar idea, that everything has to come in its time. We believe it is the time for that, but Mashiach also has his time. We discussed the idea of figuring out when the end is. There's an interesting question. Does anybody know? And historically, did anybody know? So there's one Medrash which says that even the angels don't know. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu knows, but even the angels don't know when time for Mashiach is. There's a more famous Rashi, which we have at the end of Bereishis, Parshas Vayechi, which says, come on, Phil, you're nodding, knowing it. Right, correct. Oh, there you go. Good time. All those years of yeshiva education, money well spent. There you go.
1 year YU does that for you.
See? Magnus could have been there longer. We believe that. You look at the Rambam, it's the opposite. The Rambam tells you that when Mashiach comes, he will not have to do any miracles to be proven as the Mashiach. And there's a very strong proof for that. The strong proof is Bar Kokhba. Right? That Bar Kokhba, many people, including people as great as Rabbi Akiva, thought that Bar Kokhba was the Mashiach. And when Bar Kokhba was ultimately killed in battle, that's when we understood that he wasn't. Now, Bar Kokhba never did any miracles. Right? There was no sign. Still, there was a belief that he was the Mashiach. So the Rambam says, and it seems to be a very strong proof, that one does not have to do miracles to be considered, that there will be no miraculous event that will call him. So our entire discussion is about Mashiach ben David. As far as we know, it could be that Mashiach ben Yosef came and went. But that we don't know. But our focus, Yemosa Mashiach, the person we call the Mashiach is Mashiach ben David. That's who's going to bring in. Now there's
no miracle. What about Eliyahu showing up?
What? Since we're getting into this, there's a very basic question, which I kind of I think I mentioned already previously this summer. The question goes like this: Eliyahu is going to come the day before the Mashiach, right? Eliyahu didn't come yesterday. So how can I believe Mashiach's coming today? I would have read it on a Rit Sheva. Argue with that, Williams.
You would have sent an email.
Right. Several, I'm sure. Right? So that's the case. How can we say every day I expect the Mashiach? right? If he didn't come. In fact, the Gemara tells us that Mashiach can't come on Sunday. What? Who was? Why can't Mashiach come on Sunday? What's wrong with Mashiach coming on Sunday? Eliyahu can't come on Shabbos, right? Eliyahu can't come on Shabbos. How can he come on Sunday? So they asked this question to the Brisker Rav. And the Brisker Rav said, ooh, that's a good question. When Eliyahu comes, we're going to have to ask him. That's a kind of a tongue-in-cheek answer. But eventually it seems that he gave a real answer. The answer has to listen, we've discussed already. There's two types of ge'ulas that are potentially out there. One is the ito. One is there is a certain deadline that is the date, period, Mashiach's coming. And there's achishana. There's an earlier time. The Gemara asks, there are two different, if you look through the Navi, there's two different explanations, descriptions of what it's going to be when the Mashiach comes. According to one of them, it's like Grand Park on July 3rd at night. There'll be fireworks, and there'll be miracles, and the Beis HaMikdash will come floating down from the heavens, and the Garucci brothers will be unbelievable what will be happening there. That's when the other was Ani Rochi Lachamor, right? That he'll be a poor man coming in on a donkey. Which one is it? So the Gemara says, it depends. If we're deserving, if the Mashiach came early, we'll get the full halftime at the Super Bowl. It'll be unbelievable. However, if it's Achishana, then it'll come naturally, it'll come slowly, it'll progress. So that answers many questions that you might have in terms of miraculous, etc. These are the two possibilities that are out there. There's a famous story about Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He was on a train. You hear these stories, you think the Gedolim spent all their days on the train. He was on a train as is usual. So he's on a train, and the Christian missionary came over to him. He tried to convince him who the real Messiah is. So Rav Chaim said, I believe the Messiah is Bar Kokhba. I said, Bar Kokhba? What are you, crazy? Bar Kokhba can't be the Messiah. He died. Rav Chaim said, oh, really? Some people point that there's a certain sect among Jews that are running afoul of the Bar Kokhba story. One of the basic issues that many people have with Lubavitch, one of the many, is once you announce that somebody who it would seem died could be the Mashiach, that opens up many other possibilities. Some of them have over a billion followers. So that's among the significant issues that one would have with that. So, did anybody know what the ultimate case would be? So, one answer is yes. That it says in the Brachas that Yaakov calls together all of his sons. And he says, let me tell you what's going to happen to Achris Hayamim. And then he starts off on a different topic. He starts saying, yeah, Reuben, you're a bad guy. Shimon, you're not so good even. You're like, yeah, Yehuda, you're a good guy. He starts going down the list. So Rashi says, what happened? Bikish Megalos Esakates. He wanted to tell his descendants when's the ultimate redemption, and Hashem didn't let him. So the indication from that is that he did know that Yaakov was an exception. There's only one other person historically who may be an exception. There is some discussion about it, and that is mentioned earlier, Daniel. Daniel had this vision, and he says in Daniel, I don't understand this vision. And the Malach says, eventually you will. So some people said, yeah. The Malach explained it to him at that point. We don't get that part of the story. But Daniel knew it as well. Other people, the Ibn Ezra says, nah, Daniel never knew it either. At most, it was only Yaakov Avinu who knew the date. But nowadays, of course, there's nobody who knows it. It's very interesting. The Ibn Ezra asks a very good question against Rav Sajagon. So we've pointed out that Rav Sajagon, based on this nevuah of Daniel, came out with a statement that he thinks this is when the Mashiach is going to come. He does the math, this amount of years, that's how it is. So the Ibn Ezra says, it's hard to imagine you could extrapolate from the words of Daniel when the Mashiach is coming, being that Daniel himself didn't know it. Right? Daniel said, if Daniel had the information, we could begin to talk about it. But the fact that Daniel did not even have the information himself, that, of course, limits the usefulness of trying to read into his nevuahs. Just as a little bit of an overview of the weeks to come, we believe, again, and there's very little agreement in many things. Right? A lot of things that we're going to discuss about will give different opinions. The Rambam strongly discourages this type of shir, in saying that it's a waste of time. He said, no one knows, you're not going to know what's going to happen until you get there. It doesn't lead to any more year of Shemayim, it doesn't make you any smarter. Don't waste your time on this, the Rambam says. This is in his long treatise on the topic, might I add. That's it, that's his take on it. What we're going to do is I'm going to try to follow the order. We believe that there's something called Milchamas Gog u'Magog. There'll be an ultimate war that will be, we read about this in Haftarah and Sukkos, that ultimately will be very bad for the Jews of Israel in particular. That we believe will lead to Eliyahu coming, that will lead to the Mashiach. We'll have a discussion about what Yemos HaMashiach are. Right? Will things be the same? Will they be different? We'll discuss Tchias HaMesim, and also we'll have spent some time discussing an important issue, and that is what happens after Tchias HaMesim. Right? Does the world just go on like that forever, or does the world get destroyed and we start over again? That's a major discussion as well. So hopefully in the weeks to come, we can look into this. And over the next few weeks, the hope is that we won't be meeting here next week, because in fact, Mashiach will come and you'll know all there is to know. But in the unlikely event that it doesn't, we'll schedule it for then anyhow.
What should
Islam believe? It's not really my area of expertise, you know. I think they believe the Messiah came, right? Isn't Muhammad? What? Any other questions? What?
Allah is just like a.
No, Allah is God.
Muhammad.
Right. So I don't know. Right. Got me. All right. Thank you very much.